If you have the Word of God, please open with me to the book of James. To the book of James in chapter 1. And I want to speak to you today a message that I've titled, A Forgetful Hearer or a Faithful Doer? Are you a forgetful hearer of the Word or are you a faithful hearer of the Word? In our text that we'll look at in chapter 1 of the book of James, verses 19 through 27, James makes a contrast between two kinds of people. They're represented here today. They're represented in society wherever you'll go. Forgetful hearers and faithful doers. Now it's my desire as your pastor for you to be able to say when you leave here today, I know which one I am. You know, it's possible to go in and out of seasons of either. And right now, you're in a season. You're in a season of either forgetting what you hear or faithfully doing what you know. And today, God's going to speak to us by His Holy Spirit. He may have already spoken to you in preparing to come today. He likely has spoken to you in some tangible way in the worship of Him today, but He's certainly going to do so through the preaching of God's Word. It's my desire, as I said, for us to be able to recognize what kind of a person we are as we sit here today, a faithful doer or a forgetful hearer. And so with that in mind, let's read the text that we're going to be preaching about today. Beginning in verse 19, let's read out loud the Word of God. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And all of God's people would say, amen. Amen and amen. The first thing that I want to call your attention to from our text today in the message titled, A Forgetful Hearer or a Faithful Doer, is that a forgetful hearer does not receive the word correctly. A forgetful hearer does not receive the word correctly. Four times James makes specific reference to the Word of God. I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 18. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by what? By the Word of truth. Look at verse 21. In humility receive the Word implanted. And chapter 1, verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of what? The word, and not a doer. Verse 25, he refers to it as the perfect law, the law of liberty. Now, most of us are not scientists and brain surgeons, but even Bubba can figure out that the primary subject being discussed in these verses is the Word of God and our relationship to it. Even Bubba can figure out that there's something important that James is trying to call our attention to associated with the Word of God. And what James is saying here, he's breaking it down into two kinds of people, and you're either the forgetful hearer or the faithful doer. And the first characteristic that he calls our attention to is that a forgetful hearer does not receive the Word correctly. You mean there's a right way and a wrong way to receive the Word? Yes, there is. As you're sitting here today, you're either in a right way or a wrong way in the process of receiving the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's a right way and a wrong way to receive the Word, I'd want to know what the right way is. But I'd also want to know what the wrong way is. And James is teaching us that if you're a forgetful hearer, the primary reason is because you do not receive the Word of God correctly. In Mark chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 8, Jesus said this about the Word of God. He says, be careful what you listen to. And then in Luke chapter 8, he says, be careful how you listen to what you listen to. So with all of the media outlets that we have, we certainly need to take Jesus' instructions to heart and be careful what we listen to. There's all kinds of strange doctrine out there. There's all kinds of false teaching going on, all kinds of wolves in sheep's clothing designed to lead you or me astray. So we certainly need to pay careful attention to what we're listening to. But as important, and maybe even more importantly, to what you listen to is how you listen to it. And today, James is saying you need to make sure that you receive the Word correctly, because a forgetful hearer does not receive the Word of God correctly. Look at chapter 1 and verse 19 for just a moment. In chapter 1, verse 19, he says, let me find it first. He says, this you know, my beloved brethren. What is it that we know? James says, but this you know, my beloved brethren. What is it in this context that James would say, you know this? Well, look at what it says in verse 18. In verse 18, James says that we know that it was in the exercise of his will that he brought us forth by the word of truth. James says, you know that it was through the word of God that you came to be born again. It was through the word of God that you came to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. He's teaching us about the doctrine of regeneration. He said, you know that you were regenerated, you were brought forth from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God by the word of truth. That ought to have an amen coming from your heart right there. He said, you know this. And if the word of God was your first draw to the grace of God, then you ought to take heed how you listen to it. In chapter 1, verse 18, he says, you know that you were brought forth from death to life by the word of truth. And look at what else he says all the way down there. He makes references to it, how important the word of God is. So if the word of God is the main subject that's being taught here, then we need to make sure that when we listen to the word of God, we are listening to it correctly. What is the correct way to listen to the Word of God? I'm glad you want to know. Guess how many ways there are to listen to the Word of God. There you go. Steve, they've got this down. They know I've got three things to say about anything. And then I've got three things to say what I said about that. But we'll find these three things right here in our text. And as you're sitting here today, you are receiving the Word of God either correctly or incorrectly. And it's up to you to determine how you're going to receive it the rest of the way. Now, it's not just in the preaching of the Word, but it's also in your own reading of the Word. These three things need to be brought with you to the receiving of the Word of God. Whether you listen to it through music, whether you listen through it through sermons, whether you listen to it through audio readings, however you listen to the Word of God, these three things need to characterize your listening. Because you know, as James says, you were redeemed through the Word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, here's the first thing that I want to show you in the receiving the Word of God correctly. If we're going to receive the Word of God correctly, we must first of all receive the Word with submission. With submission. In chapter 1, verse 19, he says, but everyone must be what? Quick to hear, then what? And then what? Slow to anger. What does that have to do with submission? I'm glad you want to know that as well. When you and I are listening to the Word of God, and again, this is one of my favorite verses right here, but it's oftentimes taken out of context. You heard when you have a talkative person, when you have a talkative person that talks more than they listen, you ask them, how many ears did God give you? How many? How many mouths did He give you? That means you ought to listen twice as much as you talk. But that's really not the directive that he's giving here, but it's a great principle. It's a great application to the principle here. But the primary context here is the Word of God. And what James is talking about, when you are receiving the Word of God, you ought to receive it in submission. And the way that you can tell if you're in submission to the Word of God is, first of all, you will be quick to what? Quick to hear. You'll be quick to hear what God says in His Word. I like that word quick. That word quick, it means to grab. And what James is teaching us here is that every single one of us ought to swiftly grab the Word of God whenever we're hearing it. It literally, when you translate quick to hear, it means to run to the hearing. That if they were to announce that we're going to have a preaching service at 2 o'clock this afternoon, you ought to run quickly to the hearing of the Word of God. If there is a Bible study that's being offered, you ought to run quickly to the Word of God. If there's an opportunity for you to listen to what God is saying, then you ought to order your life to where I am going to move myself rapidly and grab hold of the hearing of the Word of God. James says that if you are a forgetful hearer, it's because you're not receiving the Word correctly. And one of the first attributes of correctly hearing the Word of God is you come to the Word of God in submission. And one of the characteristics of submission is that you are going to run to the hearing. But secondly, he says that you're not only going to be quick to hear, but you're going to be slow to what? Slow to speak. Now, this is interesting as you look at this text and you look at the context. What he's talking about here is that you're going to be slow to voice an opinion against the Word of God. You're going to listen to what God has to say before you tell God what He ought to say. Anybody ever try to do that with God? It primarily, though, it is speaking to somebody like me, or speaking to anybody that's a preacher of the gospel. He said, you ought not to be so fast to be willing to stand up and tell other people what God says. Do you understand how awesome of a responsibility it is for somebody to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord? That ought to be a frightening and a fearful thing. The same thing as a teacher. Now, it ought to be hard to get teachers for a right reason. It ought not to be hard to get teachers for the normal reasons. It ought to be hard to get teachers because people are so fearful of misrepresenting God that unless He was calling them and unless He was inviting them to, they would have no part of teaching but they've got such a hunger for listening, they want the right person up there imparting the Word of God. And I'm going to give an account that you're not going to give an account for as I stand before God. When I stand up here and I tell you that this is what this Word means, this is what this truth is, this is what this doctrine is, I'm basically saying this is the Word of God. Listen to it and obey it and apply it. If I am wrong, I am going to give an account to a thrice holy God for misrepresenting Him here on earth. We've got a lot of misrepresentation going on. And no person is immaculate. No person is completely accurate. But a person of integrity would understand they need to be quick to hearing what God is saying. And they need to be slow to standing up and say, let me tell you what God has said. Doesn't mean it affects your witness. Doesn't mean it affects your obedience. What it means is you understand the awesome reverence that comes along with saying, thus saith the Lord. But there's a third thing that he says that characterizes someone in submission. Not only are we swift to hear, we're quick to run to what God has to say. Not only does it say that we're slow to speak, but what's the third one say? We're slow to anger. Now, when you break this down, there's two words that he could have used for anger. Orge and thumos. Now, thumos is an outburst. Thumos is an outburst that comes suddenly. You know, that comes, you know, you've been brooding a long time. You've been boiling a long time. And with that, all of a sudden, you just have an outburst of anger. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about here is a slow building resentment to the Word of God. That over a process of time, you begin to resent something that the Word says. You know, one of the subjects that is often most resented by the people of God is giving. Giving. And you can tell when a subject has become a point of sensitivity to a person because of their reaction to the truth about it. And if you've been disobedient to that, you have no interest in it. And when you have no interest in it, it's because, you know, you're not aligned up rightly with it. But it can be any subject, and what normally happens, no matter what it is, whenever, you know, the truth is a dividing line, amen? You're either on the right side of it or the wrong side of it. If you're on the wrong side of it, then you'll either try to avoid that truth or you'll resent that truth. And James is saying you ought to be swift to hear the truth. You ought to be slow to speak the truth, but you ought to be slow to get angry at the truth. Oftentimes, because anger always has an object, we want to get mad at the messenger. As opposed to that. Anybody ever spoken truth to you and you got mad at them? And you knew it was the truth. That's what James is talking about. Don't be slow to boil against that. You measure the truth. You receive the truth. So the first thing that he tells us is that if you are a forgetful hearer of the Word, it's because you do not receive the Word correctly. The correct way to receive the Word is with submission. You are placing yourself under the authority of the Word of God, and I'm going to do whatever this Word tells me to do. But if you are a forgetful hearer, you're not in submission to it. You're in rebellion towards it. So number one, it's with submission. But number two, the correct way to listen to the Word of God is with purity. It's with purity. Now, we're going to mess with your business a little bit right here, okay? Or God's going to mess with your business, should I say. I trust he is. I've asked him to, and he assured me that he would. He says, verse 21, therefore, putting aside all what? Filthiness. James says that it's our responsibility to put aside all filthiness before we come to the Word of God. Because if you come to the Word of God with some filthiness, you're not going to hear as well as you ought to hear. Now, here's the good thing about the Word of God. It is powerful. It's able to cut through our filthiness. But we become dull of hearing whenever we've got filthiness here. Now, what is filthiness? I'm glad you'd like to know the answer to that. The word putting aside is the word for casting off a garment that has become soiled or stained. The other day, I was mowing the lawn. And this time of year, with the Bermuda grass that we have, it's been dormant. And so it's good to scalp it down to a lower level than you would keep in the late spring and early summer. And so it's a dirty job that time, because the dead or the dormant grass, you know, is like dust. You know, it's just everywhere. And I had my sweatpants on, and they were more of a different texture. They weren't the slick or the silk kind. They were the cotton kind. And after an hour and a half to 2 hours of mowing that lawn, I was filthy. I was soiled. I was stained. And when I came in from the garage, I had to decide, do I want to walk around in this clean house with soiled, stained clothes, or do I want to get rid of them? I didn't want Marie to be quick to anger. She might have had some thumos going on. She might have been ready for an outburst. No. And so I had to put aside those garments. And then I had to go and get cleaned up. That's what James is saying that we need to do when we come to the Word of God. If we've got any kind of moral or spiritual pollution that we've allowed into our lives, we need to put it aside. And then he said, that's the big stuff. That's the big stuff. And then all that remains of what? Now, we've got different ideas of wickedness in our vocabulary, right? How many of you would think of yourself as a wicked person? We don't want to be thought of as a wicked person. But a wickedness in the biblical sense of it, is it anything that's not right with God? And he says, you put aside the stained garments that you're aware of, the big pieces that you know of, and anything left over that God says is not lining up with his plumb line of truth. And then what? Receive the what? The Word. Now, in your Bible, there's another word after that. Receive the word what? Implanted. Now, I'm going to be careful here because I'm sanctified this morning. Do you know we live in a society that loves implants? This society loves implants. We got all kinds of cosmetic implants. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We've got hair implants. We've got other kinds of implants. I read this week that one of the most rapidly growing implants, it starts in California and blows this way just like the jet stream, you know. It's going to get this, calf implants. Calf implants. People are getting implants in their calves because they want to be looked to be made to be strong. Isn't that incredible? In doing that. But you know what? The Bible actually endorses implants, just not those kind. All of us that have been saved have been implanted at least one time. The Word of God was implanted in you. That's what he said at the beginning. You know this, he says. But you know that you have received the implanted word. The word has been planted in you. And so if you want to grow, it was powerful enough to save your soul. If you want it to clean you up, if you want it to put you in the right step, then you make sure that you're pure. You come and you know what the word said because it's been implanted in you. You know whether it's right or you know whether it's wrong. And when you know what's right, you know what's wrong, then you need to get on the right side of right and receive the word implanted. Let the word get implanted in you, and you do it in submission, and you do it in purity. But number three, he says you've got to do it in humility. in humility. In humility, receive the word, what? Implanted. What's he talking about in humility? Humility is generally translated in the New Testament as meekness or gentleness, and that's certainly true in this case. But primarily what he's getting across is, receive it with a teachable spirit. That any time you come to the Word of God, any time you place yourself under a teacher of God, a preacher of God's Word, then you need to come to it with a teachable spirit. It's when a person believes they've learned it all, they know it all, they can do it all, is when you're no longer in submission, in purity, and in humility. And so what God is telling you is that the correct way of receiving the Word is with a teachable spirit. All right. So now, if you are a forgetful hearer, there's a good chance that the reason you're a forgetful hearer is because you do not receive the Word correctly. But number two, let's move to the positive. If you're not a forgetful hearer, then it means that you are a faithful doer of the Word. And if you are a faithful doer of the Word, it's because you respond to the Word continually. Do you know that God's Word always requires a response? And if you are a faithful doer of God's Word, you are going to respond to the Word continually. Look at verse 22. But prove yourselves what? Doers of the Word, and not merely as what? Hearers who do what? You know, the Word of God is so powerful. It is so effective. It is so authoritative that it always requires some kind of response for us. Look at verse 23 in your Bibles. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Say that with me. He'll be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed in whatever you do? Then you've got to make the commitment that I'm going to run to the hearing of the Word of God quickly. I am going to be slow to speak the Word of God, but I'm going to be even slower to be angry at the Word of God. Now the Word of God is going to put me under the spotlight. It's going to make me uncomfortable. It's going to require change from me. It's going to require a higher standard for me, but it's the best thing for me. And what he's teaching us here is, don't be like a person that just glances in the mirror and sees what he sees, but then forgets what he saw. Have you ever done that by looking in the mirror? I know that looking at some people today, they either don't have a mirror or they forgot what they saw in the mirror. On what standard does that look good? On what criteria is that acceptable? And it's just incredible. It's just incredible, those kinds of things. But that's what we do if we've not predetermined that whatever the Word says, I'm going to do it now and not later. And that's why I'm so blessed by your responsiveness as a church. You are learning to be responsive to when God says something to you, to respond to it at that moment in time. Because in this atmosphere that you cannot see, there is a war that's going on. Jesus taught us about that war when he taught us about the different kinds of heart. And that the Word of God is sown in your heart, but the spiritual beings are there to try to steal the Word out of your heart. And so you can hear a Word, but if you don't adjust your life to the Word, you'll forget it before you get home. And it's not that you're just losing your memory. It's that someone's stolen that Word from you. So what we want to do is live with our yes on God's altar. And living with our yes on God's altar, it means that we are going to respond to the word continually. Now, how do you know if you're a doer? Would you like three ways to know if you're a doer of the word? I'm not making these up. James has given them to us, okay? But remember, his name's not James, it's Jacob. So we'll figure that out too. All right, number one, how do you know if you're a doer of the word? The first thing is your speech will be controlled. Look at what James says. I mean, he gets right in the middle of your business. He says, now, if anyone thinks himself to be what? And yet does not bridle his what? But deceives his own what? This man's religion is what? That's pretty strong, isn't it? Somebody has said that the average person speaks 18,000 words a day. How many of you are into already? the average person. I think if you put that together, that would come out to a 54-page book each day. 54 pages each day. And doing that, the tongue or your speech is not the only indicator of your maturity, but it's one of the quickest. It's one of the quickest revealers of a person's character and the conditions of their heart. I remember when I first got saved, I was in the insurance business and estate planning, and I had a business appointment. And I mean, I was so fresh and so filled with the Spirit, I could care less whether they bought insurance. I just wanted to talk to them about Jesus. And I was at this business appointment, and it was a luncheon appointment, and this guy, every other word was a cuss word. And so I started witnessing to him. I shared my testimony with him, and here's what he said. Oh, I'm a Christian too. I said, can you help me with something? I said, I hadn't been saved very long, and I got saved on a Tuesday night about a month ago, and up until that Tuesday night, I cussed like you do. But when I got saved, I haven't said a cuss word since. What's the difference here? And he was really convicted. His speech was not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this way, it's out of the abundance of your heart that your mouth speaks. So what's coming out of your mouth? It's what's in your heart. You know, if you smash your finger and you say what you ought not have said, and then don't wonder, where'd that come from? It came from your heart. It came from your heart. And that's all that it is. It's just a revealer of what's really in your heart. And that you can get it out of your heart, but you got to know what's in there first. Don't be deceived. He said, if you think that you've got an outward religion and you go through the outward ceremonies and that makes you right, it makes you a doer of the word, no, it's not. If you can't bridle that tongue, because you can, only God can do that, he'll tell us more about that in chapter 3, then your religion is worthless. It's worthless. If the power of God cannot control your tongue, then how's it going to get you out of sin and into heaven? Your speech will be controlled if you're a doer of the word. Number two, your service will be compassionate. Your service will be compassionate. Look at verse 27. He says, now pure religion, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of whom? Now that's who we're trying to impress anyway, right? Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of the Father is this. To visit orphans and widows in their what? Now the word visit, I did some time looking at that. I wanted to figure out what's he talking about here. And he uses the word visit that Jesus uses. This word visit, it means more than to stop by for a brief chat or religious duty. This word was used by Jesus in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 36, when Jesus said, for I was hungry and you what? Told me where McDonald's was. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you said, Lord bless you and be on your way. No, he says, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. Same word. And what Jesus was giving us here is a picture of what it means to visit someone in their time of distress. It means to do all that you can possibly do to meet someone's needs. And what he's saying is, in the time that he was writing that, they didn't have insurance policies. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have savings programs. They only had the family of God. They only had their families to take care of them. He says, now as the church, when you look at this group of people here that has nobody else to care for them, nobody else to provide for them, the government's not going to take care of them, and welfare's not going to take care of them, then if you know of some people who are orphans and who are widows, and they're in a time of distress, no one else to help them, and you don't help them, then you're not really what you say you ought to. You're not doing the Word of God. But if you're a doer of the word, not only will your speech be controlled, but your service will be compassionate. If you find somebody hungry and it's within your means to do so, you'll help fill that hunger need. If you find somebody who's thirsty and you can give them something to drink, you give them something to drink. If you find someone that has some clothes and you've got some extra clothes, give them some clothes. If you find somebody that has anybody else that'll visit them, then you do it. Or else you are a forgetful hearer of the word. Finally, number three, your stains will be cleansed. If you are a faithful doer of God's word and you respond to God's word continually, your tongue will be controlled and your service will be compassionate, but your stains will be cleansed. Look at what he says in verse 27, and to keep your neighbor unstained by the world. Is that what it says? Well, we've got that neighbor ministry down, don't you? We're all quick to jump to getting the stains off our neighbor. But James says, you know what? If you are a doer of the word, the first place you're going to begin is with yourself, and you're going to keep oneself unstained by the world. You know, that's really what the world's objective is for your life and mine, is to stain you. It's to stain you with its immorality, to stain you with its viewpoints, to stain you with its stench, with its filth, with its immorality, you know, with its wisdom, you know, with its ways, you know, with its means. But James says that if you're a true doer of God's word, it has been implanted within you. And with it being implanted within you, it's going to require some things of you. And if you are a true doer of God's word, there are going to be times when you get stained with the pollution, with the filth, with the immorality of the world. But you're going to quickly run to get rid of it. I wonder who it is that's come in here stained with some filth of the world. James says it's your responsibility to remove that from you. If you don't, here's what happens. Your ears begin to get clogged up, and you don't hear the Word of God like you used to. You don't respond as quickly to the Word of God like you used to. And before long, you deteriorate into becoming a forgetful hearer instead of a faithful doer of the Word. And so, the bottom line is, keep very, very short accounts with the Lord. If it's a thought that you had you shouldn't have had, clean yourself of it. If you don't deal with a thought, then before long it'll become a mindset. If you don't deal with a mindset, pretty soon it becomes a stronghold. If you don't deal with it when it's a stronghold, then it will become a way of life for you. And if you've not dealt with it when it becomes a way of life for you, it will ruin you quicker than you know. So today, have you deteriorated into a forgetful hearer of God's word? Have you not been receiving God's word correctly? Or today, as you sit here, is it your testimony that I am a faithful doer of God's word? It is revealed in my speech, in my service, and in my stains. If you need to deal with something today, today's the day to do it, and this altar will be available for you to deal with it. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your servant, James. We thank you, Lord, that he has spoken to us, and you've used him to impart truth to us. Lord, today is our desire to be a faithful hearer and doer of your word. Help us not to forget the things you would have us to remember. And Lord, the things that you would have us not to remember, help us to forget those things. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen.